do you work hard, but you find that money just seems to slip through your fingers? Or are you a saver, but your partner loves to spend, spend, spend? Maybe you're just struggling to get by. Whichever one you are, financial advisor Susan Wahab has a message for you. Without money intelligence, you have no hope of achieving your dreams in life and being financially free. That doesn't mean you have to change who you are. Just be smarter about what that means for you and for your financial future security. She's about to launch her new book, Money Intelligence, Anchored in Values, and she joins us in the studio now. Susan, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So, Susan, why values? You've said money intelligence needs to be anchored in values. Why is that?
Because without values, we can't really run a successful and fulfilling life. The concept from the book came because of my parents. And I wrote my parents' story about a couple of years ago because I wanted to share their story since 1975. And when I looked at why my parents' story is unique, it's because of the values that they lived through and they taught me. And I wanted to share a holistic view of life with money being part of it.
So you say your mindset came from your parents. They grew up, you grew up obviously with them in Palestine under Israeli occupation.
Yes.
And you weave their story through the book. So tell us a little bit about your parents' story and what you learnt from your mum and dad about money.
When my parents got married, it was a year after the Israeli occupation. And my dad, for various reasons, ended up running a shop. And coming from a Middle Eastern background, you know, the mom stays at home and the dad goes to work. So within, she had five kids within six years. And my mom thought she was going to stay at home. But because my dad was what I call a good money maker, someone who makes the money but is not good at managing the money, thanks to my parents, my dad's Israeli friend who was working with him at the time, he came to our shop and I tell the story that that's when I witnessed him telling my dad that he needs to get my mom, who's a good money manager, and he knew that she was a good money manager, someone good at managing the money and keeping it. He advised my dad to get my mom involved in the business, and he also encouraged my mom, you know, back in 1975, encouraged her and empowered her to go out there and help my dad and be proactive in the business.
So this was a really unusual situation, wasn't it, in Palestine in 1975,
yep,
to have an Israeli man befriending a Palestinian man when the Palestinians were under occupation, and then telling this Palestinian man he should get his wife involved in the business when the wife's normal role was to stay at home and look after the kids.
Yep.
That taught you a lot about courage and also about a woman's right to step up and,
yes,
and I guess be assertive about what skills she has to offer.
Yes, that's right. So for me, it's not about your role as a woman. It's your role as a capable person. So her capabilities came in and she was needed, you know, to save the family. And, both of them were open-minded for the, to take on the advice, and I think that's what saved the family.
So these three characters, your mum, your dad, and their friend Eli,
yeah,
they had very different attitudes to,
yes,
money. And you,
yes,
describe these particular personality types around money.
Yeah.
Can you talk us through what these different, yeah, money mindsets are?
So this is my own conclusion. As you know, as a financial strategist now, I looked back at the story and I branded these three characters, with my dad being the money maker because he's very hard working. He loves building businesses. And my mom, who's very good at managing money, she's very smart and very thrifty, actually, which is a good thing. And with Eli coming in, you know, he had business skills and he basically what I call a money mentor, someone who could see the strengths and weaknesses of each of them and to kind of advise and say, you're good here, stay there. You're good here, take that role, and together as what I call a winner partnership, achieve the results that you need to achieve in your business.
And so this is the key, really, isn't it? It's it's sort of understanding your own personality type, whether
That's
you're
correct.
The money maker like your dad, whether
That's
you're
right.
the money manager like
That's
your
right.
mum, or whether you're someone who could step in and be an advisor to somebody. And really, it's actually, if you don't have those the particular skills yourself, it's about finding people in your life who can offer you those.
That's right. So that's why I talk about creating partnerships, whether it's with your partner or with, you know, friends that you come in, do your business or careers and take on, you know, who is more strong in which area, and take on those roles. Don't try to fix those weaknesses, but focus on your strengths.
So this is
Don't
really
waste
about
your life.
Understanding yourself, knowing
exactly.
yourself, isn't
that's
it?
That's right. That's right.
You're really keen on people achieving self-determination, financial self-determination, financial liberation. Why is that so important to you?
I see it every day. I see a lot of people who are earning good money. I refer to those people. They live it up a little bit too much rather than build up some wealth. And I feel that the middle to upper class are going to be a burden on the government in the next 25 years if they don't do something about their financial future now, because the super is not enough. And, you know, earning all that income, paying it on the mortgage and not building something for the future means that they're going to end up on a $20,000 to $30,000 pension, which is what the government is trying to do right now.
So I guess this is a big problem, isn't it? Because in Australia, we have an ageing population.
Yes, it's going to get worse.
And we're going to end up with a lot of people dependent on the pension and not enough workers in the economy to bring those tax dollars in.
That's right. So in 1996, we had 1.6 million senior citizens over the age of 65 and over. In 2010, we have over 3 million, and we're projecting, you know, my generation, Generation X, in 25 years to be 6 million. So that is going to be a big burden on the government if the stats stay the same, being, you know, we've got about 84% of the current old age pensioners on a pension, whether it's full or part pension. So we, you know, the government wants to change those statistics from 16% to 25%. But I believe that we could do 50%, that 50% of the population, you know, the 3 million out of the 6 that we are projecting in 25 years would end up self-funded retirees. That way we don't have to have all these arguments in Parliament about we have to raise taxes, reduce expenditure, because these conversations are going to keep going, because we've got more than 1,000 people a week retiring right now, and many are not retiring on their own money. They might have a bit of super, but that's not enough. So they have to knock on Social Security's door and say, I want the pension.
So in just a moment, we're going to come back to the how.
On the Money, hedge your bets and stay tuned.
You're on the Money with me, Catherine Zengerer, and with me in the studio is financial advisor Susan Wahab. She's about to launch her new book, Money Intelligence, Anchored in Values. And Susan, we've talked a little bit about why you wanted to write this book, that you're concerned about the number of people who are kind of really not planning for their retirement and their future. And you learnt a lot of values from your own parents about how to work together and find people who have the skills that you don't have to actually manage your money and plan for your future. So how do you recommend that people go about that if you say we need to be not living in the moment and actually thinking forward and planning our own futures?
Well, that's why I wrote the book, because I believe that the first step to financial liberation is actually increasing your money intelligence level, what I call MQ level. You know, we've had EQ, we've had IQ. I think it's time now we talk about MQ, because we are living in a society where there's a lot of people who are growing older, and the, you know, entitlement mentality that we live under right now is that people need to get the pension from the government. So the first step is to increase your money intelligence level. And that starts with, well, reading my book, but also knowing what kind of money person you are, and committing, making a commitment once you get inspired by the book, making a commitment that you want to shift your mentality, or what I call your mindset, from a consumerholic, which is all around us, to what I call an investigetic, someone who gets passionate about investing. You know, we get passionate about buying shoes. I think it's time now we get passionate about buying investments.
And in fact, you say that people are scared to borrow to invest, but they're not scared to borrow to consume. And
correct.
As someone who runs a money program on the radio, I'm going to put my hand up and say that I'm one of those consumerholics, and who actually tends to just think my future is, well, I've got time to plan for that. Mm. But also, I guess I'm one of those people who tends to think, you know what, I could get hit by a bus tomorrow. And
that's
I've
right.
seen a lot of people who have put their life on hold,
yes.
thinking that in their retirement they'll do all the fun things that they love. Then they get cancer, typically, actually.
Yep.
A lot of people, I've seen that a lot. You know, it's so prevalent in our society now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they die before they've lived their dreams. So what what do you say to people like that who say, well, look, I'm just throwing caution to the wind here. I'm going to live my life to the full.
You know, I'm a conservative accountant and I see a lot of people who end up living to their 70s and 80s. And the statistics are if you live past 50, even though that you might get cancer, you're going to live longer. And all you have to do is just go to the RSL and see how many old people there are. So these people are living, and you can't risk your life thinking that, oh, you know, I'm going to get hit by a bus. Or I think we need to start thinking a little bit differently rather than just think for now. Yes, we should enjoy life. I try to enjoy life, even though I don't drink and I don't party too much.
But you're not saying to people, put your whole life on hold, are you?
No. I'm saying, even in the book, I'm saying you're investing some money into your super. There's that 9.5% to 10%. I'm saying to kind of get to some sort of, a dignified retirement, you need to notch it up with another 10 to 15% on top. So it's not taking all your income and just going, I'm going to save all of it. We start with small, and I say we start with $50 a week and we build up. But it is probably between 10 to 15% that you would need to put aside and invest smartly.
Mm. Susan, this book, Money Intelligence Anchored in Values, it's got this beautiful picture. It's all black and white, incredibly complex design on the front cover. And then throughout the book, there is this beautiful artwork.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yep. I actually wanted to just get a Palestinian artist, actually, because of my heritage. And my cousin told me about this young 26-year-old Ramallah resident Palestinian artist who just did her first exhibition. So I wanted her to just do the cover. But then when she did the cover, I realized that I wanted to do a drawing for each chapter. And that's where it just snowballed from there, that she ended up doing mandala-style coloring sheets that we're going to give away for anyone who buys the book. She's got so inspired, and I actually got very inspired by what kind of person she is, that she's now, her and I sat down and worked out that she could create a colouring book based on peace. So we're looking at about 20 quotes based on inner peace and outer peace, that these quotes are going to inspire her to draw for people to do, you know, those adult colouring books. So right now she is drawing.
And in fact, you are donating all of the proceeds,
yes,
from your book to a very special cause. Tell us, yes, quickly about that.
My cause is peace. I, even being an accountant, I think money does give you some peace of mind. but also, you know, coming from Palestine and the Holy Land is not at peace. And, you know, it breaks your heart every day. You see people fighting for, you know, for various reasons, but most of them are not for the right reasons. And, you know, for me, having inner peace means that you could have outer peace. And, yeah, I realized after writing the book that for me, it's not about the money, even though it's always about the money, but it's not really about the money. And I want to hopefully make good money out of this book that I want to donate to various peace organizations, including the Sydney Peace Foundation. I've been inspired by the work of Professor Rees, but also Palestinian organizations overseas. And also one of the things that inspired me about Natalie, the artist, is that she's, you know, this is the work of one artist, and we don't have a proper academy. And I want to finance a Palestine Art Academy over there. And
well, it's a beautiful cause and beautiful artwork in this book. We're talking about the book Money Intelligence Anchored in Values. It's being launched this coming Tuesday, the 1st of March. If you're in Sydney, you can come along. It's at the Grace Hotel starting at 5:30 p.m. You can also find out more about the book at moneyintelligence.com.au. We'll put a link to that on our website. And the author of the book, Susan Wahab, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story with us here at On The Money.
Thank you. My pleasure.